morning my lesson's entitled, Remember Who You Are. So we're going to look at that for a few minutes this morning. So many times in this life we're tried and tested and the cares of the world begin to rule our lives. And we often lose sight of just who we are, what we're doing here and where we're going. This morning we're going to look at who we are, what we're doing here and where we're going. First, who are we? Turn to Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now you might be thinking, well, yeah, we're Christians. But not so fast. Let's look closer. Let's read the last part of verse 26 again. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. You see, disciples were first called Christians. Most of us probably know what a synonym is. But if you don't, synonyms are words that mean the same thing. Here are a couple of synonyms for disciples. How about follower or believer? Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Let's look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Disciples are followers and believers of Jesus Christ. Thus believing, you have to be baptized to be saved. Therefore, to be a Christian, you must obey the will of Christ. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Starting at verse 3. Romans 6 and verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united or planted together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin or death, or of obedience to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Let's also look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who... Let me read that again, verse 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Also look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting at verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, precious, elect and precious. And he who believes in him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Again, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, Jesus Christ's own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's recap the question. Who are we? The answer, disciples, followers, believers, Christians, slaves of righteousness, good soldiers, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Number 2, what are we doing here? Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Starting at verse 19. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth or rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else you'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not of more value than you, are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, What shall I eat, what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 33, But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Also 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 5. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy 4 and verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's look at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other greater commandment than these. John 14 and verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's recap this question. What are we doing here? The answer: seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, being diligent to make our calling and election sure, preaching the word in season, out of season, with long suffering and teaching, walking in the light. We know him by keeping his commandments. We need to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the Lord, loving the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. Third, where are we going? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 8, actually 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to those, to all who have loved his appearing. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Timothy chapter 6 and the first part of verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verses 22 and 23. Romans chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's also look at back at John 14. John 14 and verse 6. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's back up to verse 1. Chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Let's recap this question. Where are we headed? The answer, heaven. In closing this morning, let's look at all three questions again. Who are we? What are we doing here? And where are we going? We are disciples, followers, believers, Christians, slaves of righteousness, good soldiers, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. While we're here, we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, being diligent to make our calling and election sure, preaching the word in season and out of season with long-suffering and teaching, walking in the light. We know him by keeping his commandments. We need to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the Lord, loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. Doing these things, we will be rewarded with an eternal home in heaven with our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and have not obeyed the commandments of God, you have an opportunity right now. The very things we have looked at this morning can apply to you if you heed the call. Do not be like King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to be a Christian." Paul's response to Agrippa in verse 29 is this, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today, might both almost and altogether, such as I, except for these chains. Friends, don't be almost persuaded. Be altogether persuaded. If you're here this morning and you want to respond to God's call, hearing, believing, repenting, turning away from old sins, and confessing the name of Jesus Christ, as the Son of God and being immersed in the watery grave of baptism, where you'll meet the blood of Christ and have your past sins washed away, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing. Careless soul, why would you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God, careless soul. your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to